says he's already got a word for us tonight.
Hallelujah.
Now listen.
Thank you, Lord.
He's a bishop over churches. She's the pastor of the Church of Maryland. I give them both permission to say whatever God gives me. Hands up the microphone. And I'm ready to hear what they have to say to us.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
So stand to your feet and welcome Bishop Jeff Coleman to the...
Well, praise the Lord. Say this with me. Praise the Lord. Here we go. Say this. I am in God's transition.
I am in God's transition.
I will not fear the change.
I will not fear the change.
Because His hand, is guiding me. I am leaving behind the old. And I am stepping into the new.
By faith.
Right now. My future is secure. Because the Lord is with me. And I am crossing over.
Into.
My promised land. Shout like you believe that. Come on, shout like a church body who believes God's going to do something amazing here in this church, in this family. Come on. Hallelujah. Don't fear transitions. Praise the Lord. I leaned over. Your pastor said transition. I leaned over and helped my phone. We've not talked very little other than I'm looking for a building. I didn't realize your transition was this close until I got here and you told me. So I do have a word for this house. So you can be seated because we're going to be here a while. You know, it's amazing. And we're so honored. First of all, let me say how honored we are to be here with your pastors. Do you love your pastors?
Yeah.
I'm waiting on everybody to get involved. Amen. That's kind of weak. Do you love your pastor?
Yeah.
I do too, actually. Pastor Jack, I hadn't had an opportunity to be with Pastor Patty yet much, but we will over the next couple days, and I'm looking forward to it because if she can put up with, I mean, if she's with Jack, Pastor Jack, then we know she's got to be an amazing lady. Praise the Lord. So we had such a great time when Pastor came up and rode with us. Jared's a lot. We have so many mutual friends. Actually, he just mentioned someone, and I had no idea that you even knew, John Avanzini. Recently, we were with John Avanzini and Jason. Jason's come and ministered for us 2-3 times at our church. We're great friends with the family. But recently, we were with Drs. Coy and D. Barker, Dr. Michael Chipwood, and John Avanzini in a back green room, and we were just sitting. And Miss D. come in, and John was sitting there, and out from under his collar was a gold necklace that he got from Dubai that was about that wide. I think the price was around $24,000, something like that. Anyway, not that big one. So, God wants you blessed, so you might as well quit choking on that $24,000. He can do more than that. Amen.
Amen.
Anyway, that was sitting there, and Miss Dean come in, and she said, "That's a beautiful necklace, John. That's beautiful." Well, he said, "Well, thank you." And she walked on over and sat down. And I felt the presence, and if you've ever been around Dr. Avanzini, the presence of the anointing will hit so strong that you'd wish that you didn't have any money to sow. Because everything that you want, it'll come. It'll just come right out. And you'll be like, "Man, I just wrote a check for $10,000. And then before you know it, it's just, you know, and it's such an anointing for the grace of finances.
Yes.
Are y'all okay?
Yes.
Say this with me. God wants to be prosperous.
God wants to be prosperous.
Prosperity.
Prosperity.
Is in the Bible.
Is in the Bible.
It's actually a biblical term.
Yes.
So keep talking. Don't quit talking. Say prosperity.
Prosperity.
Is actually a biblical term. So get rid of all the religious mindsets. So anyway, I felt the sowing anointing come in the room so strong. And I leaned forward and I could see tears filling Dr. Avanzini's eyes. And I knew, and I can sense it right now, I can sense the presence on this word. And I knew, and I seen him get up, and Dr. Avanzini walked over to the side of the room, and tears began to trickle down my face. I knew what was coming. So I walked over to Dr. John, and I stood in front of him. I said, John, can I help you? Tears are already down to his chin, and he pulled that off, and he had been wanting that for years, that very necklace, and he finally got it. And as soon as he had it, about 2 weeks, and he walked over to Miss D, and he put that around her neck and said, here, I want you to have that. So as soon as he put it around Miss D's neck, I said, wow, that's a beautiful necklace, Miss D. She stuffed that thing down in there. So every time I see her, I'm like, it's a beautiful necklace, Miss D. So if John or Jason or Coy, Dr. Coy and D are watching or see this broadcast, we love y'all so much. So grateful for all the divine connections in our life. We got connected with Dr. Chevelle a few years back. The first time I ate with Dr. Chevelle, we were at one of his favorite restaurants, P.F. Chang's, which is one of my favorite restaurants. So I was so excited that he was coming because I knew I was going to get to go to P.F. Chang's. Some of y'all don't like P.F. Chang's? Oh, I meant to tell you guys, the best thing about Kentucky is that it's next to Tennessee. I try to get on your good side. Amen. Try to get on your good side. Amen. So, we got any UK fans here? Let's see what.
Yeah,
everybody. Everybody, Pastor Jack. He's the one invited me, so I'll stay on his good side. We sat down P.F. Chang's. We spent about 2 hours eating. And when he got finished, we got finished the meal. We took him back. And I told Pastor Farrell, I said, I probably need to go sell cars or something for a living. Because the example and the gift that he was just in a couple of hours being with him, I thought, you need to do something besides ministry. That's how far you are away from where you're trying to get to. But at the same time, I told her, I said, I don't feel like there's anything I couldn't do. That's just the way Dr. Chevelle made you feel. He made you feel like there wasn't nothing you couldn't accomplish. And at the same time, you need to step it up. Y'all a step up crowd? Are y'all a step up crowd?
Yes, we are.
Amen. So God's going to do something great here tonight. So I hope you're planning to receive. I hope you're ready. I don't know if you're ready. I'll tell another story then, since you didn't answer or reply. So I am an audience participation preacher. I love for people to be engaged, and I know you're awake if you're talking.
Yeah.
Amen. So if you're engaged, you're speaking, you're saying amen. The only way that you don't have the opportunity to speak is if you're making notes, not grocery lists. I'm talking about if you're writing that when I get to the subject matter, and you're making notes, and I understand you're writing. It's hard to write and talk. It's hard to walk with you bubble gum for me sometimes. But anyway, praise the Lord. Talk and drive. Now, Jason's a tremendous man of God, too, though. We love him, too. And Dr. Chevelle, we're just blessed to be surrounded by some tremendous people. And so, if you have your Bibles tonight, go with me. I want to talk to you about a couple of things, but I want to talk about increasing your capacity to receive. Increasing your capacity to receive. Go to 2 Kings 4. 2 Kings 4. Amen. Got several translations in my iPad tonight that I'll be using, but I'm going to be reading out of the King James Version first. I'm going to start in verse 1. I'm going to read the whole text just to make sure we get that out of the way for all the religious people, and then we'll go back and talk about it, okay? Oh, anyway. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, we're in a transition. Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you, or what hast thou, in the house? Look at your neighbor and say, it's in the house. And she said, thy handmaid had, or hath not, anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when you are coming in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels. And thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Come on. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there's not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, go sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children on the rest. Praise the Lord. Come on, how many of you know that's a debt-breaking miracle? Tara and I went to Maryville, Tennessee about 9 years ago. We started in the storefront. We had several transitions. We actually had three transitions before we got to where we are now. And on our way there, God did miracle after miracle after miracle in the area of buildings. God has blessed me with this anointing in real estate. God helps, he helps me. As I'm driving, we drove by the building we're currently in. We drove by, and when we drove by, I said, the Lord said to me, he's going to give us that building. So I called 8 elders, and I brought all the elders in the room, and I said, this is what God said to me. He said, he's going to give us this building. I said, I don't want you to tell anybody. I don't want you to mention it to anybody. How many of you know that people are not your source? Four people know that. So let me clarify. People are not your source. God's your source. So we're not out trying to get people to do anything. God's going to do something. Whether people like it or not, God's going to do something. Even if he has to try to, you know, make somebody, usher somebody. Come on, if he has to move the hands and the treasures of the wicked, come on, into the hands of the godly, he can do that. So, we prayed. 16 months later, my phone rang. Now, I didn't tell him. We didn't tell the church. We had about 100 people coming to church at the time. And we didn't tell the church. We were in a storefront building. We were needing to move. The lease was about up. Things were happening. And the phone rang. Now, this is kind of where the story gets kind of funny. The lady's name was Gail Pentecost. Come on, how many of you know we need a move of the Holy Ghost? Come on, how many of you know we need some Pentecost in our life? Hallelujah. We need to, come on, more than a little sha-sha-sha-ba-ma-ma-ka-ka-ka. We need a little more than just that. We need the move of God in our life. So Gail Pentecost called. She said, hey, Pastor. Now, she was from Texas. She said, hey, Pastor. She said, if you don't care, I'm going to call a man down the street, and I'm going to see if he'll let us transition into that building. I believe God wants you to have that property. I said, okay, that sounds fine. I said, call every pastor in town. You already know I need a building. Yeah. Yeah. I don't care who you call. I didn't say, where's the building? I didn't say, where do you live? I had never been to her house. I didn't know where she lived. I didn't know what building she was talking about. But how many of you know any building is good?
Yeah.
Almost any building is good. Anyway, I'm just saying, we need a building, right? So I'm like, yeah, call. Praise God. Call them all. 186 churches in our hometown. Call them all. Tell them all. Tell them all. We need a building by next week. Tell them all. So, because I ain't calling. You can call. So she called. She called. About 3 days later, the pastor was on the other end of the phone. He said, hey, this is Pastor so-and-so from Pastor such-and-such church. And I said, where? He said it again. And when he said it, 16 months prior, God pointed at the building and said, that building's yours. You didn't miss what I just said. That pastor's on the phone with me, and he said, hey, I want to see about you transitioning into this property.
Yes.
I said, where's that property? He told me where the property was. I dropped the phone. I ran around my house praying in tongues, shouted, danced a little bit, picked the phone back up. He was Presbyterian. I said, "Did you hang up already?" He said, "No, sir, I'm here." I said, "Well, good." I said, "When do you want to meet me?" He told me. I said, "I'll meet you there." I walked in the room. Everybody in the room was around 70 to 80 year old. Not that that's bad. But if you're Presbyterian and 80 year old, that could be a problem. So I done been praying. God gave me a number. He told me what we were going to pay for the building. He told me how it was going to come to pass. I said, "Okay, Lord, this is going to work out great." I walk in the room. Everybody in there, they look like they've been baptized upside down in a post hole full of vinegar, sucking a persimmon. I said, "Y'all need some Pentecost in here for sure." Huh? But man on the front here, they got paper set down on the paper. You know, the what it says it's worth, about $1.8 million, almost $2 million. And I said, "Well, that's good." I said, "I appreciate your time, Jim." I said, "The Lord gave me a number." He said, $350,000. Oh, okay. Now, at the time, I had $425. I'm building something here for you to transition. If you're wondering why I'm telling you this story, it's not for me. I already got my mirror. Amen. And I'm getting another one right now. So I said, "The Lord gave me another $350,000. Well, the guy on the front that looked the most miserable said, "We like to serve the Lord from an intellectual standpoint." I said, "That's the best way I've ever been called stupid. I ain't never been called stupid before." He said, "Did you see the papers?" I said, "Oh, yeah, yeah, I seen them papers. I seen." He said, "You seen it says about $2 million?" I said, "Oh, yeah, yeah, I seen that." He said, that's what this property's worth." I said, "Well, the Lord said it was worth $350. Come on, somebody, $350. Say it with me, say $350. Yeah, you get it. So I said, "And I didn't know this, sir." I said, "I don't really know you." And this green chair, he was sitting to, it's kind of funny, this chair's green. He was sitting right there, and I was sitting like this. And I said, "Sir, if the God I know could fit in your hand, he'd be a little bitty." How many of you know negotiation with God are not like everybody thinks they are? When God speaks. See, what you got to understand, this church, God has a vision for this church, a plan for this church, and wants the man of God and the woman of God. Here's what God says. It don't matter what anybody else says. That's when God speaks, when he moves, that's going to happen. So they called me back 2 weeks later. They said, "Okay, we're going to do that. When do you want to give us the money?" I said, "Oh, you're going to carry the note." They said, "What? I said, "God said y'all was going to carry the note. I'm going to give you $25,000 down. I'm going to give you 5% interest on a 3-year term, 5-year balloon, or 3-year balloon on a 15-year term.
Yep.
Amen.
5% interest." Our church could borrow from Discover, you know. At the time, we didn't have no money. We didn't have no credit. I think, like I said, we had like $425. He said, "I'm going to have to take this to the board." I said, "Take wherever you need to take it. Call me back when you get it figured out." He called me back and said, "We'll take it." I said, "60 days, I'll get the money to you." So, you know, we rocked on. We kept bringing it up, telling people, you know, sharing with everybody. You know, we believe in God for $25,000. It's like the heavens had just went brass. Nothing was moving. The folks had done locked down. We had 30 days to come up with $25,000. Now, we had about, like I said, how much do we have?
$425.
Now, our folks didn't have a lot of money at the time. We just started the church. We just started teaching the word of faith. We just started teaching people how to get debt free. You know, so we were just starting this process. And as we were going along, we just kept getting closer. I think we raised about $3,000. I said, "This ain't going to work." How many of you know $3,000 is not $25,000? Now, we're 1 weekend away from needing the money on Monday morning. You're catching on?
Yes.
Now, I said, we need to go get the car, man. We need to pray. We need to go sow a seed. We went and sowed the seed. We sowed a $1,000 seed. Well, when we were standing in there, we were sowing into a Pakistan motorcycle ministry where they were going to take motorcycles and go to Pakistan, and we were going to put a $1,000 seed into that. And so they had the motorcycle sitting there. We were at World Harvest Church in Columbus, Ohio, Pastor Rod Parsley, and we had our seed sitting there like this, and she had to hold the check, and I had to hold the check. $1,000 seed. Now, we had $3,000. Now we need $25,000. Now we're going to sow what? I'm just making sure everybody's keeping track. So now we're down to two, and I've got to hold one end of the check, and she's got to hold end of the other. And she said, and I said, let it go. She said, you let it go. I said, no, you let it go first. You let it go. So she let it go. I let it go. We put on a big scene right there at the motorcycle in front of God and everybody. And the man on the front row said, hey, he texted me when I sat down. He said, that looked painful. He said, my Pastor Rod and Chad were sitting there, and they were looking at the phone laughing at me and Pastor Barrett. And I said, our tears are down my cheek. And I didn't go tell Pastor what we needed. Again, say it with me. God's my source. Some of you are relying on the wrong thing. Some of you rely on your job. You rely on people. You rely on what you can do, but you can't do. Come on, somebody. I told people the other day, they're like, look, we can't fund the vision. I said, I didn't ask you to fund the vision. The vision's bigger than you.
Amen.
I got to lay some groundwork so you'll know that I'm not here for no reason. I'm here because there's an anointing on my life for this.
Yes.
And I don't know if all of you are going to go to the next building, but I hope you do. Somebody said, I'm going. Somebody said, I'm going. Somebody said, I'm going. Yeah, I hope so. You know, 12 folk went in, but only two got to go in later. 10 said, we can't go. You got to watch yourself in transitions. Some people will tell you can't do it. God may be trying to take you into something bigger than you even thought about or seen or even imagined. And even yourself will try to talk you out of it. But anyway, so we went on down, we sold that $1,000 seed, we had a weekend come up, and we walked out at the end of that weekend, there was $38,000 in that offer.
Amen.
If that was your $38,000, you'd been shouting differently, I can tell you.
Yes.
Amen. I may need to come back. If Jason and John have been teaching in this congregation or in this household of faith, then I know y'all talked about finances. So we walked out of that weekend. We went and paid them. And then here we are. Now you got to walk this whole process out to understand. Well, there was an acre of ground come up for sale beside me. And I called the gentleman who had the acre. And I said, what do you want for the acre? He said, $180,000. I said, well, I appreciate you letting me know. I said, I'll pray. I sent him a text a couple days later. I said, the Lord said $60,000. So $180,000 and $60,000, that's a pretty good ways apart, right? Some of you are negotiating from what the world says you negotiate from.
Yes.
Well, you don't negotiate with worldly terms. You're negotiating from the kingdom. See, if we're led by the Spirit, we're the sons and daughters of God. So we got to learn how to be led by God. That way we show up where God wants us to be.
Yes.
This woman that I just read you about, she was in a bad situation, she was in a transition, and she didn't have the answer, or she thought she didn't have the answer. See, whether you know it or not, you already have the answer tied up in you. And I told you to say it's in my house. When I said that a minute ago, so if you just reach out like this right now, you can get a hold of it because it's closer than you think. See, that woman had the answer in her house, but she saw what she had as little. But what she had was much bigger than what she saw. Because God, backing your small, will go further. Come on, somebody.
Amen. Yes.
So there she was. She was entangled in, I don't have anything. And he said, what do you have? She said, I got this little jar of oil. He said, that's all you need. Now watch this, because I want you to catch this. Don't miss it. He said, go borrow vessels. I don't know about you, but if we can go back in time and think about how valuable, they didn't have a Target, a Walmart, they didn't have Amazon, they didn't have none of that. Y'all know about Target? J.C. Penney? Come on, I'm in Kentucky, this ain't Las Vegas, come on. I'm from Tennessee, so we got Target, J.C. Penney. That was what we wore. This come from J.C. Penney. It did. So, y'all don't wear that kind of stuff right now. Okay? So, he said, go borrow vessels. I don't know about you, but if you go back in time and you think about the fact of how valuable a vessel was, you couldn't just go everywhere and buy a vessel. You know, some vessels have been passed down from generation to generation. It took a lot to make a vessel. Like a vessel would be like you driving my Cadillac today. Like, hey, let me borrow your Cadillac. I'm like, I don't know you. Can you borrow my Cadillac? Get in my Escalade. If somebody comes knocks on your door and you don't know, I'm like, hey, let me borrow your best cooking ware. No. I don't know you. Y'all didn't say anything. Relationship determines advancement. We increase by association. Let me put it another way. When she ran out of relationship, she ran out of room. See, you keep looking at vessels as something she was poured into, but she was poured into places of relationship. Go borrow vessels. It wasn't her vessels. That was somebody else's vessel. So she brought relationship into the equation because that's what she poured into was prior relationship.
Right.
Yes. Are you listening?
Yes.
Because we increase by association.
Right.
See, some of you have been in the wrong room. One thing I like to say all the time, and it works quick for me anyway, because like I've never been really the smartest person in the room, but if you're the smartest person in the room, you need to leave the room. Why? Because you're not going to advance. And if you're never putting yourself in an uncomfortable situation where somebody's pushing you up into another level, where you're seeing them go up higher. So here this woman was borrowing vessels from neighbors. She gathered every relationship she had and she brought them into a room. And I say this all the time thinking about this woman. I think it would be like the Alaskan pipeline. If she had had room for increase, the line would still be flowing. Because God don't run out of increase. I said, God don't run out of increase. We might run out of relationship. Why? Because God said in His Word, Luke 6:38, come on, quote it. Start over. Like, come on. Like, we got some, forgive me, we got some black folk in this room. We got to have better rhythm than this. So, give and it shall be given unto you. Come on. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men or shall relationship give unto you. God is going to use somebody to advance this ministry.
Yes.
God is going to use somebody. We're going to find favor with somebody that's going to move this ministry into another level. God's going to move this thing into another place. God's going to transition this into another, come on, into another realm. And as long as you keep staying where you are relationally, you'll never advance. Some of you have had them same four friends for 40 years and y'all ain't never done nothing but go to some red hat club on a Sunday and eat breakfast or something. I don't know. But you ain't advancing. You show me your five best friends, I'm going to show you where you're going. Some of you ain't even got friends. I can tell you. Like, I don't even have friends. See that? It shows up on your face tonight. Show yourself friendly. Thank you. I've enjoyed being here with you. Show yourself friendly. If you want to have friends, you got to be friendly. If you want to grow a church, you got to have a friendly church. If you want to build something, you're going to have to build relationship. You got to be relational people even when it's awkward. Because your next is tied to relationship.
Yes.
Had she had more relationships, she'd have more oil.
Yes.
I need another vessel. I need to know you need to learn how to be relational. See, I can tell I'm breaking through right now because some of you, you know why you got a church here? Because it's small. Okay, I'm going to say that over here. It went over well on this side. I'm going to try it over here. You come to church here because it's small. No, no, you're comfortable. I'm trying to, I agree, that's you, but that's not everybody. Some people are in this room because it's small. But God don't work always in small.
Amen.
God wants to grow.
Yes.
And he wants to expand.
Yes.
And he wants to increase.
Yes.
And he wants to use people to do it.
Yes.
And we got to be the friendliest, happiest, most joy-filled people in the planet. So people want to know, how'd you get so happy?
Amen.
I was working at Denso. I was working at Denso, which was a Japanese company in Athens, Tennessee, many years ago. And when they interviewed me and took me in, they said, you can't share the gospel. You can't talk about Jesus. Unless somebody asks you a question, you can't say anything. Don't put out tracts. Don't carry a Bible. This is a Buddhist-run company. I said, okay, that's cool. You can't stop my shine. Y'all didn't get there. You can't stop my shine. They put me right on the front of the line. They had a whole factory behind me, and I was right at the entrance. I was on line one. Every morning, I'd be standing there 15 minutes early. Come on, somebody. I drank all my coffee before I left the house. I showed up every day 15 minutes early. I was on time. Come on, I was dressed right. I was clean. My shoes were shined. Come on, I had my belt right. I had my shirt right. Come on, I look good every day. Come on, don't hate, celebrate. I look good every day. I showed up every day on my job. Showed up early. Showed up on time. Showed up happy. Showed up full of Jesus.
Yes.
Finally, somebody come up to me one morning and said, I want to know every... This guy's Japanese, so I'm going to do him. Okay, y'all ready? Every day you happy. Every day you show up here every day. You show up every day, you stand there, you happy. Why are you happy? I've been waiting right here on this corner for somebody to ask me why I'm happy since I started this job. I'm happy because Jesus lives in me. That's why I'm happy. He said, oh, you Christian. I said, yeah. He said, oh, look, what's that? He said, look, he had a little bracelet on. Inside the bracelet, it was like a not like a kaleidoscope, but like a see-through thing. You look up in there, inside that hole, you know, when I was a kid, you turn it and look through the light. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You get one of them Cracker Jacks thing. Y'all remember Cracker Jacks?
Yeah.
You look through Cracker Jacks and you see, yeah, just like that. Except it was on his wrist. You look through there and it had this, I don't know how many arm Buddha sketch. And it had all like the snake and the rat and the dog and the chicken all on them hands. And he said, that's my God. I said, which one? There's a bunch of stuff going on. Which one? Because I knew what it was because it's based upon years. If you're born in a certain year, that'd be your God. And it just keeps rotating around. And he was born on the year of the chicken because God had that thing lined up. Because I said, oh, last night, I went to Ruby Tuesday's. This is a true story. I said, and I ordered a platter. I look like a platter guy, don't I? It's okay, I know. I'm a platter guy. I didn't mess around with no dinner. I got the platter. I'm talking about the family platter. 22-piece family platter. Add buffalo. Send a quarter ranch and large fries, if you please. I ate it all. Eat the whole platter. Well, nothing left over. sitting there eating, you know, it's just one piece of chicken. There's 22 pieces. That's just one. I mean, I don't even have any chickens that fit in, but you couldn't get many chickens at 22 chicken fingers. A couple of chickens, maybe. You know. So anyway, so I ate two chicken. I said, last night I ate your God. He said, huh? I said, last night, Rufus, I ate a whole platter of chicken. I said, your God fits in my belly. It be God. He said, oh. I said, my God, you can't eat these great big God. Great big God. Big, big God. Enough for everybody. He said, where you go to church? I said, come with me. That Sunday, 13 people from Denso Manufacturing showed up at the church. 13 people said yes to Jesus Christ. Wow. 2 weeks later, the general manager of the company showed up at the church along with them other people. And all of them were sitting there. They all got on their Denso uniform. The general manager comes up. He gets saved. Come on. Everybody's running, shouting. They don't even know what we're saying, but they know Jesus, right? And everybody's getting saved. So there we were. And then one day, they flew in the president. He's the rainbow ink guy. He signs the check. So I don't know how they get ink to come out of a pen to be in rainbow, but he did every time in school. I'm just kidding. I know it's a stamp. I just, you know, I called him the rainbow ink guy. But anyway. He showed up and he's like, hey, come up here. They come down there, the guy, the manager comes up. He said, man, the president won't see you up in the upper room, you know. I said, okay. So I get up there and they had all the big wigs up there and me. And he said, I don't bite you. I said, yeah, what'd you get? Are you Jesus man? I said, yeah. He said, you pray, come. I said, you sure? You pray. Pray at dinner. Pray over meal. I said, okay. So I pray in English, in tongues. I pray in the name of Jesus. Right there in front of everybody. That Christmas rolled around and we're standing there. Everybody's fixing that big Christmas dinner. And they said, where's Bishop Coleman at? Bring him up here. The whole factory. Everybody in the factory. I prayed. Why am I telling you this? Because little is much.
Yes.
If you all will take hold of the oil that's in this room, the oil that's in your life, and begin to build relationships with people around you. You'll begin to change this whole. Look, there has to be a word and spirit church in this area.
Yes.
There has to be somebody preaching the revelation knowledge of the truth like this man and woman of God is releasing. We have to get behind that and support that. We have to pull on board and say, you know what? I'm going to start sharing my oil.
Yes.
I'm going to start being a vessel who carries this thing.
Yes.
So I'm going to go a little further. Is that okay? Oh, I meant to tell you too, it's funny. It's funny. During the first part of me working there, somebody had laid tracks all over the bathroom. You know, Jesus tracks. Laid them all over the bathroom. So they come got me. They brought me in the office, said, Mr. Coleman, we told you don't be doing no Christian stuff in there unless somebody asks you. And we told you not to be putting out tracks. I said, whoa, you got me messed up. I don't break your rules. They said, this is what the general manager said to me at the time. This is how we built relationship. He said, you didn't put them tracks out. I said, no, sir. I said, you know, there's such a thing as incognito Christian. You don't know they're Christian. Like if I ask you today, how many people have you won to Christ? Okay. It usually gets this loud anywhere I preach, so y'all are doing about the same. We need to be sharing what God has given us. We need to be sharing what God is doing in our house, in our church, in our family. We need to be sharing. If you're, because you remember when you first got saved? You remember when you first got saved?
Yes.
Some of you, if you never got saved, because I'm asking you, you remember when you first got saved? You're going to be like, yeah, I remember that. I remember that. Do you remember?
Yes.
Raise your right hand. Say, I remember. Just want to make sure everybody was either right front or left. Y'all did good. When you first got saved, nobody could shut you up.
That's right.
Amen. Everywhere you went, you was like, man, God's been so good. You won't believe He saved somebody like me. I was a heathen. I was strung out. I was backslid. I was away from God. I didn't deserve it, but God's been so good to me. And everybody you saw, you witnessed the dogs, cats, people in the drive-thru, you begin to cough in the morning. Man, God's good, y'all.
Yes. Amen.
What happened? What happened? We come to this room and we sit down and we're okay. God wants to do more here.
Yes.
I'm trying to get you to come up to another level.
Yes.
Can I do that?
Yes.
Are you okay?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So let's go a little further. I've got to make you happy so I can get this done. So I want you to go quickly over to, let me scroll down and make sure that I don't. Yeah, Ecclesiastes 5:19. A little bitty book. If you have to go to the front to find it, go ahead. Ecclesiastes 5:19. I'm going to wait on it. Yeah, after Proverbs. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Psalms is a very good book. Proverbs is a little smaller. Ecclesiastes is real small. Amen. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Chapter 5, verse 19. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
See, if this church is going to transition, it's going to take some warriors.
Yes.
What you've done to get to here will not get you to where you need to go. That's why I'm here. I'm probably the last speaker, outside speaker, that's going to speak to this church in this facility. From here, you've got to move.
Yes.
So, I mean, you know, I want to come back in your next building because I believe I'm going to be a part of that in the next few days.
Yes.
But if I make you so mad you don't want me to come back, if it helps you change, I'm okay with that too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because what you've done up till now will not carry you to the next. You're going to have to be a different group. You're going to have to be a different church. You're going to have to be a different, you're going to have to be a different relational group of people. You're going to have to get behind the vision differently. We didn't come here to hide. This church is not a hiding place.
Amen.
This ain't a cave. This ain't David's cave. Amen. We're going to grow from here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. We may be a remnant now, but we're about to turn into an army.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, I hadn't been here before, so I don't know. I'm just going to gauge in the atmosphere, see how bad I'm messing up. Ecclesiastes 5:19. Yes, we should make the most of what God gives, both the bounty and the what? Capacity to enjoy. God wants you to be able to enjoy, but you're going to have to increase your capacity to enjoy. The joy you had, matter of fact, God told me at the beginning of this year, He said, Jeff, He said, ministry don't even start in your life until you get into a place called overflow.
Yes.
Right. Yep.
That's right. Do we have anything that waters in? Anybody got a full bottle of water?
There's one down under the podium. The box at the podium.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Well, it's not full.
It's all the way down the bottom.
Oh, all down the bottom. Okay. Yeah, so that one is almost. But really, if you look at it, there's still room.
Yes.
And so it's not given anything because it's not completely filled. Because in the kingdom, filled is overflow.
Yes.
Yeah.
You might want to write that down. That's worth having right there. That was good enough for you to keep. In the kingdom, filled is overflow. Filled was never meant for you. Filled was meant for somebody else. You remember when Peter was walking down the street and he was just filled with the Holy Ghost and the early church of Pentecost was still moving and he was walking down the street. The Bible said as he walked by, his shadow, the very shadow that he cast, people were healed, set free, and delivered from casting a shadow. How many of you know that's not partially full, that's overflow? Let me put it to you a different way. Have you ever seen anybody straining to cast a shadow?
Do you get it? That makes sense? See, the church looks like it's straining to do something when it's actually not something that we're straining to do. Shadows are cast, but in relation to, come on, proximity or relation to the Son. And until you're in the right relationship, you're never going to have a shadow. But a shadow, listen to me, is an effortless flow. Let me say it to you a different way. If you don't have full joy where it's overflowing, nobody's ever going to see joy come out of you. If you don't have peace, overflowing peace, you don't have complete peace in your life, how's somebody going to see peace? If you can't pay your bills, how are you going to sow? Real prosperity is being able to look somebody in the eye in the time of trouble and answer their need. That's prosperity.
Yes.
Prosperity is not God just meeting your needs. God wants every area of your life in a place of overflow. But if I don't increase your capacity or demand more of you tonight and tell you what you've been carrying is not enough, you need to increase it. Come on, somebody. Don't you want to be able to, you can't, if you don't carry it, you can't give it. You remember in the book of Acts where John was walking up to the man at the gate called Beautiful. You remember that story, right? He said, hey, he's shaking his cup of previous things that happened, previous relationships that happened. He's still begging. Could you imagine? Because there are some people who want you to stay in this building. There are some people who want to be okay with you where you are. They don't want to see you come up. They don't want to see you do better. They want to see you down here. Because after all, they told you when there was going to be anything. And some of you are settled for, I'm okay with that. But today we're raising your capacity. This man had a begging mentality. Help him. And they said, silver and gold have I none. They didn't have anything with them. In other words, we don't have the answer you're looking for. We've got something greater. So what did they really say? Such as I have, give I thee. If you don't have more than enough, you can't give something.
Right.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Say it three times.
Amen.
Y'all still ain't got no rhythm. So say this with me. Beginning today, I'm expanding my capacity for success. I'm taking the limits off. I'm enlarging my borders, which are going to be without limits. So I'm going to give you some thoughts on relationships that we need to walk through before I get done. I want to give you some points for relationships moving forward because you need to guard relationships.
Yes.
Okay, three people. I said you need to guard relationships.
Yes.
So let me find it. I'm scrolling. I had several notes for you, but God's got a very specific message that He wants to give you. You okay?
Yes.
Good. Because I'm going to take my time. What time do you usually get done? Okay, so I got 30 minutes. Flex. Blessed are the flexible, for they shall be fixed. And it's in here. You just need to give me a second to find it. Yeah, right? Okay, go to Numbers 13. Because I want to talk to you about relationships moving forward. Numbers 13. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. 1 Samuel, 1 Kings, 1 Chronicles. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Psalm. Y'all been in the book, ain't you?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all been in the book?
Yes.
Book's what's going to change your life.
the word. You got Numbers 13?
Yes.
All right. Well, let's start in verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send out for yourself men so that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm going to give to the sons of Israel. You shall send a man from each of the father's tribes, everyone a leader among them. So he's sending out leaders among men. And he said, I'm going to give them some land. Now look at verse 27. Thus they told him and said, we went into the land where you sent us, and certainly it does flow with milk and honey. This is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And indeed, we saw the descendants of Anak there. So these spies come out. They went out. They looked at the land. They looked at the promise. And they decided before any conflict, they decided before anything that ever happened, they decided that they could not get there. And actually, if you're not really in transition, if you're not really cautious about who you lend an ear to, somebody will be telling you that you'll never get there. Somebody will tell you you'll never have that. Somebody will tell you that it's too big for you. Somebody will tell you, yeah, that's the promise of God. It looks good, but it's never going to be for you. And those 10 preachers, I call them, or those 10 friends, told them, and listen, the whole nation listened to 10. And nobody got to go in except for two, Joshua and Caleb. And they said, we can go, we can take it, we can surely recover, we can surely go into the land, we'll overcome, we're going to get everything God's got for us, there's no way we won't get it. And they waited another 40 years. And I don't know about you, but even if I got to wait 40 more years, I'm not going to change my faith confession. I said, I'm not going to change my faith confession. I'm going to stay on my faith. I'm going to stay on my place. I'm going to stay on the wall. And when I do, I'm going to see it come to pass. So there's a law that's working. There's a law and a principle that's working when it comes to relationship. And that law is called increase by association. The Lord told me for this church and for you, he said there's going to be divine connections. There's going to be some reconnections. So you better forgive before they get here.
That's right.
Oh, ain't nobody saying nothing because they some folk left, you're glad they're gone. They may show back up. Okay. I'm going to stay right there if y'all ain't going to say anything. I'm going to stay right there. I said there's going to be some divine connections and there's going to be some divine reconnections.
Yeah.
In other words, God's heart is always restoration.
Amen.
God's heart is always healing. God's heart is always forgiveness.
Yes.
If you don't forgive, God said, I can't forgive you. So God may be trying to bring somebody back to this church, and because you're here and because of your spirit, come on, they don't want to come back. But if you would free up your spirit, God could bring them back. If you'd forgive them right now, God could bring them back. If they could come back and find healing, find restoration, and find hope again through you and through this house, they could come back. But God also said there's going to be some divine disconnections. In other words, let me say it to you like this. Not everybody can go to the next level. God ordained relationships that bring increase, wisdom, and alignment with his purpose. Reconnections. Some relationships need to be rekindled. Those with kingdom purpose and mutual edification.
That's right.
Eat the crow. I said eat the crow. For the sake of relationship.
Yes.
For the sake of kingdom.
Yes.
For the sake of people.
Yes.
For the sake of eternity.
Yes.
Come on, your family. Some of your family's waiting on you to eat the crow.
Yes.
It's going to have to start in your house. How's it ever going to get in this church if it don't get right in your house? If your family don't come to church with you, tells me you might have a problem in your family, which therefore gives us a problem in this church. Thank you. I've enjoyed being with you.
It's good.
He didn't ask me if I was what a bishop was, or he didn't ask me if I was a pastor. Actually, I'm apostolic. Apostolic are builders, and we don't like to mess around. We like to come in, say what we need to say, build, and move on.
That's right.
Bring me the lumber. Bring me the material. Let's get this job done. And that's what I'm trying to get you to understand right now. If you don't release those people, you could fill this room if you could change your family.
Yes.
You're right.
Mark 11, 22 through 26. Go there. Brother of Hagen. That's first take.
Yeah.
Chapter 11. You think he wrote it, right?
Yeah.
Mark 11, 22. Y'all know it, right?
Yeah.
You have a say,
amen.
Y'all know where Mark is, I can tell. Yeah. So Mark 11, 22. And Jesus answering said to them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall what? Say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith is so good. That's a faith scripture for faith people. Y'all are like, man, we're going to have a church. We're going to have it. God's going to give us a new building. God's going to give us some land. God's going to give us some property. God's going to give us some stuff in Jesus' name. This mountain's got to move. Let's read on. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive.
Yes.
I said, when you stand praying, is it in red letters? My Bible's a red letter edition. It's in red in my Bible. But I've always said this, the only Bible really works for you, the one that's in read anyway, or the one that's been read. It don't have to be in red for it to be good. It's all good. But he said, when you stand praying, forgive. Forgive.
Yes.
I said, forgive.
Yes.
Every person that's hurt you.
Yes.
Every person that's come against your life. Every family member that's come against you. Every person that's tried to hurt this ministry. Every person that's tried to hurt this church. Since day one, every person that's gone. Every person that's come. Every person that's left. Every person that's tried to destroy. Every bad transaction. Everything that's happened. God said, forgive.
Yes.
Why? Because I believe it. I receive it. I confess it. I thank you for it, and I forgive.
Yes.
Can I go a step further?
Yes.
Jesus said you can hang all the law or everything in my kingdom on two things. What are they? Love the who? Thank you, Pastor Farrell. Love the Lord your God with what?
All your strength.
Now I'm going to quote it because y'all ain't quoting with me. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your what? Strength. So we all love the Lord, right? I mean, you're here on a Sunday night in the back of a building with a pastor that you love and a church that you love and a bishop that you don't know, and you're here in this building and you love God. But let me ask you a question. Do you love your neighbor? Next part's the prophecy. You know the reason why relationships are so important is because your relationship with you becomes the most important.
Yeah.
Your love for others is going to flow out of your love for you.
Yes.
Okay. Say this with me. Say, I love me.
I love me.
Some me.
For me.
Y'all still ain't working on that. Say it again. Say, I love me some me.
I love me some me.
Come on, say, I love me.
I love me.
I love me and everything about me.
I love me and everything about
me. I love me.
I love me.
Why? Because God loves me.
Amen.
Because he forgive me.
Yes.
And the same forgiveness that I've been given, I'm going to give somebody else.
Yes.
Why? Because freely it's been given. Freely I receive. Come on. Now, I'm going to go a step further. Do you know that God loves you just as much as he loves Jesus? He loved you.
Yes.
I said he loves you.
Yes.
And we get the revelation that God loves us. That revelation right there, that relationship right there, that value of that moment where we understand that God loves us no matter what we've done, no matter where we've been, no matter how bad we've been, God loves us. Then we can wake up
up in the morning and go, you know what? I'm in a great relationship. I got a great relationship with God. He loves me. He loves me just as much as he loves Jesus. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Where's that at, Pastor Barry? John 15? Pull it up. Pull it up. Let me read it in your Bible. They need it. Oh, we might get late. I still ain't got to my point number one, but we're going to get there. I'm on my way.
We weren't able to go this way, but you need to know this if you're going to go to the next level.
Yes.
There's a mountain in front of y'all.
Yes.
There's a mountain in front of this ministry. There's a mountain in front of your life.
Yes.
We got to get you to be okay with you. Did you find it? I'll chat, GPT. That God loves you just as much as Jesus. This is okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it is John 17. I believe you're right. Yeah, here it is. Yeah, John 17:23. Thank you, Pastor. I thought it was John 15. Go to John 17:23. Let's read it together. What translation do y'all like around here? Y'all like the AMPC? Or do you care? What do you like? You like the good? Okay, here we go. Jesus was praying here in John 17:20-23. I enjoy the NASB, so I'm going to read out of it. I'm not asking on behalf of these alone, but also for those who what? Believe in me through their word. In other words, this thing's going to get passed down through people who communicate the message. Yes. That they may what? Be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Now here's the thing. He said these people are going to come into unity or in agreement. They're not going to have unforgiveness, bitterness, hatred toward each other. They're going to love me. They're going to love God. They're going to love, come on. They're going to love each other. They're going to love their neighbor. They're going to love everybody around them. They're going to walk in my love. And this is how the world will know.
Yeah.
Don't you want the world to know?
Yes.
I've said for years, why should you get to hear the gospel again when there's someone who's never heard it at all? That's moving. Thank you for your applause and your enthusiasm. The glory which you have given me, I also have given to them so that they may be one. Don't cut me off yet. I'm not done. Just as we are one.
Yep.
I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity. Watch this. So the world may know that you sent me. Watch this. This is the key. And you love them just as you love me. Just as. So he said this. This is what Jesus said. He said, God, show the world that you love them as much as you love me.
Yes.
Now that's going to bring you up a little higher tomorrow. That's going to bring you up a little higher next week. So you're not struggling with all the issues and all the problems, all the things you think is going on in your life. No. Why? Because you know that he loves you just as much as he loved Jesus. Don't I have to do something? Well, yeah, you got to make Jesus Lord of your life, sure. But he loved you before you did that. God is love. Love still comes with judgment. So don't get confused. Jesus was full of grace and truth. We want a message that's just full of grace, but we don't want the truth to go along with it. Jesus didn't give you just a partial message. In John chapter 1, he said, I came full of both. In other words, you can't have fullness of grace without fullness of truth, and you'll never have fullness of truth without fullness of grace. Does that make sense? So say it again. Say, Jesus loved me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
The Bible tells me so.
I like to say the devil can stump his toe. So point number one. Wise relationships are currency of the kingdom. Write this down, I'm gonna make you write. Wise relationships are currency in the kingdom. Are currency of the kingdom. So therefore, if wise relationships are currency, right, I'm gonna have to get us to elevate and evaluate our relationships. So number one, 8 qualities of wise relationships. Number one, build your confidence in God and in yourself. Yes. Work on that relationship. Okay? Because I could see a while ago when the anointing hit, when I was talking about Jesus loves you, God loves you as much as he loved Jesus, and I was talking about the love of God, I could see the expression in some of your faces, and you're still trying to wrap around, and even tears filled some eyes in that moment in this room tonight, because some of you are like, I don't deserve his love. Yeah, yeah, I understand you don't deserve it, but he loves you.
Yes.
Yes.
Gave his life for you.
Yes.
Praise God. It's not your righteousness that's going to get you in anyway. It's his righteousness, and righteousness is a gift.
Yes.
Amen. Number two, get relationships that encourage spiritual and natural growth. Quit hanging around people that don't go to church. Somebody say amen, make me feel better besides one person.
Amen.
Quit hanging around folks. If your best friend's lost and you've been trying to win them for 20 years, you ain't going to win them.
That's right.
Because you ain't been effective. You've already stepped over into the dark side, Luke. It's time to come back. Oh, I can tell I ain't got no Star Wars fan. Come to the dark side, Luke. I have no father. Don't remember that. Number three. Get in wise relationships that stir up a spirit of gratitude. But hanging around folk that are not thankful. Get around people that are thankful. Amen?
Amen.
If folks are always complaining and whining, look, I'm not saying you can't be cordial. I'm not saying that they can't come to Christ. But look, you need to find some folks that have gratitude operating in their life. Why? Because gratitude works in the kingdom.
Yes.
Enter his what? Gates with what? Ingratitude? No, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is gate entrance. Courts is praise. If we can't get you out of ingratitude or unthankfulness, and you're hanging around people that are unthankful, always complaining, that's what happened to those people in Israel. They complained, they remained. The gripers got the vipers. Y'all remember that group? Y'all don't want to be a part of the griping viper people. You don't want to be another people. You don't want to be the complaining and remain people. Come on, you want to get around people who are what? Thankful and grateful.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So here's a way to tell. If they're not grateful for you, you probably don't need to be around them.
That's right.
You keep coming to the relationship and all that you bring to the relationship and everything you do, and they still don't bring anything to the relationship, it's time for you to get out of the relationship. Why? Because relationships are currency. That's the current that's flowing through your life. Proverbs 13:20. Can you put that on the board? Put it up. You can't put it on the board? Pastor, put it up in the AMPC. Let me read. Like it's a computer. It's a Bible. Put it up. Okay. Number four. Wise relationships, right? Number four. This is one. Get in a relationship that corrects your life in love, not in judgment. Get around people that can correct you. If you don't have anybody in your life, you only got them 4 or 5 friends, Pookie and them and your unk and all them folks, and they don't really, you know, they don't really speak in your life. Get around somebody who can look right at you and say, you know what, you're in sin, you're a liar, You're backslid. You're not living right. Come on. You're faking it, and you're, come on.
Yeah,
you say, well, I don't know, Bishop. That's not what I need. No, that's what you need. If you don't get in the room of correction, you're not going to go into advancement. You got to be in a room that you can be corrected, and you need relationships. That somebody had a man get set free from drugs in the church, and he come for about 9 months. He showed up one Sunday morning, and I looked back there, and the Lord said, he's high. I said, oh, is he? He said, yeah, he's high. I said, okay. So I leaned over to us, and I said, hey, tell that gentleman to come to the back at service. So he walked back there. He walked right there in the back, and he sat down on the rough side of him. And I said, now here's the thing. I said, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, you're high. No, preacher, I'm clean. I've been clean for months now. You know I'm clean. My wife knows I'm clean. I'm not doing anything. I said, you're a liar. I scooted the chair right up against him. I leaned right into his face. I said, listen, either God's a liar or you're a liar. I'm going to go with you. He said, I'm a liar. He said, I'm high. He's been clean since that day. It's been years.
Amen.
He said about 6 months later, he said, Pastor, he said, Bishop, I'm so happy to have you in my life. He said, not many men would have corrected me like that. They'd have let me lie in this one, but I don't, because folk would look right at you. They said, you say, are you a Christian? I said, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Are you now? Where you go to church? Oh, I don't have one. I just have church at house. No, you don't. You can't have church at home. All right. Now, I tell us, some religious cows are getting tipped right now. You ain't the church. You're the temple.
Yes.
The church has a fivefold ministry gift operating in it with structure and leadership and accountability. That's the church. Ecclesia, a called out assembly. Forsaking not the assembly. That's relationship. So if you ain't part of the church, you ain't sitting at home and having church. You're sitting at home because you're pouting or you don't want to do nothing or you're lazy. I don't know why. I don't know really why everybody stays home, but you ain't a church. You ain't the church. If you're at the house, you ain't part of the church. If you ain't bringing your supply and getting your supply, you're not part of the church. And if you're in a relationship where you're not a giver and you're just a taker, you're not in a relationship.
Right.
You're a prostitute.
Yeah.
You say prostitute give. No, they don't. They take.
Yes.
They give you nothing. That transaction didn't mean nothing then. All that transaction was money. If you're in the house of God and you don't bring a supply and receive a supply. I enjoyed my time with you. I'm so glad you have me here. You want a church?
Yes.
You're going to need the truth. Correct in love, not in judgment. Number 5, I'm almost done. Develop and refine your character. You need to be in relationships that develop and refine your character. If I come up to you and look at you and you say you're a Christian, I need the fruit of a Christian.
Yeah.
Y'all know what the fruit is, don't you?
Yeah.
What are they? Gentleness and self-control. If I walk up to an orange tree and I get up to an orange tree and I pull an apple off an orange tree, we got issues. This is a lying orange tree that's got apples on it, and it's not a productive, fruit-bearing orange tree. You say, well, God didn't call me to be a fruit inspector. You don't have to be an inspector to tell that oranges are on a tree. Just look. Be like, oh, that's an orange tree. If it's not obvious that you're a Christian, you may not be one. I'm going to say that over here. If it's not obvious that you're a Christian, you may not be one.
Folks shouldn't have to ask you. If the only way we know is that cross around your neck and your bumper sticker that you may be a Christian, then that don't mean you are one. Matter of fact, I could put you in a garage with a car, tools, and make you give you a shirt that says mechanic. But if you don't know what you're doing, that don't make you a mechanic. That makes you dumb in a garage with tools.
That's right.
I love you. I love you more. Most estes, that's what we say around the house. Somebody's got to win all the time. Number six, get in relationships that push you to pursue greater. I didn't come down here to leave you like I found you. If I don't even get to come back, which I hope I do, but if I don't, I hope somebody in this room gets motivated to go further than they ever have. To reach for more than you've ever reached for. To do more than you've ever done. To be more than you've ever been. To go further than you've ever gone. To do more in the kingdom than you've ever accomplished before through Christ. I want to see you reach the highest heights and get out of the lowest lows. And come on, go higher and further than you've ever went before. And if you're going to stay where you are and remain, that's your choice. But some people in this room are going to go greater.
We're gonna
get behind you if we have to and push you.
Yes, right.
I mean, you know, I like to say it like this. You know, I say, you know, God must have thought I needed work. Because, I mean, I've been through a lot. I went to SEAL training in Coronado, California. And that's tough. That builds character. Matter of fact, their slogan is, the only easy day was yesterday. That's what I said. The only easy day was yesterday. So that's the motivation. Like you show up. I showed up. I walked on base. I'm standing there in front. I got my feet on these little fence. I'm sitting there looking up. It said the only easy day was yesterday. So that's what you got to look forward to now. You've signed up for that.
Wow.
And yesterday was hell. Today's going to be another full helping of it. And that's the only easy day you're ever going to get. I signed up for that. Now, how many of you know that develops character?
Yes.
I let you look at a room full of people and Christians and folks that stare at you and look like they don't know what you're talking about, don't want to hear you, they're mad at you and wish you'd shut up and go home. Look, I done been there. This room don't scare me. It don't scare me. So then I started pastoring, God ministry, and how many of you know that? That'll build character. Those folk will come and folk will go and folk will lie and folks things will happen and you'll give and give and give. I had a family in the church and they was trying to destroy the ministry. I come in and sat down on the front row. The Lord said, I want you to sow $10,000 into their life and they're leaving today. I said, these folks trying to destroy the ministry, they're leaving today and you want me to write them a check for $10,000? He said, yeah, they're going to adopt a baby and I want you to help them. He said, they may not be no good for your life, but they'll be good for that baby's life. I leaned over to my wife, I said, baby, let me tell you what the Lord said, it's hilarious. He said he wanted me to sow $10,000 in the people that's leaving today. That's been trying to destroy this ministry. She said, you better make sure you heard God. If you heard him, you write. I said, yes, ma'am. I heard him. So we wrote the check, 10 grand, sent him on the way. Done nothing but talk about me since that day. Dr. Chevelle was known for as people try to destroy him, sowing into them. And it was sad, Dr. Schell said this. He said, I'm not sowing into them, I'm sowing into me.
Yeah.
Keeping my heart right. My heart relational. My heart pure. Keeping me out of business. Not let them go. They don't need no help. I hope they lose everything they got. That ain't the way to send somebody. Even if they're trying to hurt you, send them in peace. Bless them as they go. Bless them every time you see them. How many of you know that'll build character?
Yeah.
And then
I married a redheaded woman, and y'all, I ain't gonna get into that. You think seal training was hard and pastoring was hard? Marry a redhead woman, see what you get. Without the Holy Ghost. Y'all ain't much laughing going on. All right. Push you to pursue greater. Two more, and we're done. Going home. It's 8:01. We were supposed to be done a minute ago, but it's all right. See and call out the greatness within you. I come here to tell you tonight that this church, this group of people, can be greater. And I'm calling you into greatness. Be in a relationship with people that call you into greater, that refuse to let you stay where you are.
Yes.
I'm doing pretty good. Now, yeah, my pastor likes to say like this, you're a pretty good duck for the shape you're in, but you're not quite the duck you could have been. You could do better. Amen?
Yes.
So, number 8, be around people who can help open doors to the next level. One more scripture and I'm done. Proverbs 13:20, you can write it down, take the note. He who walks as a companion with wise men is wise, but he who associates with self-confident fools is a fool himself and shall smart for it. It's going to cost you if you walk with people who don't live right. Amen? Here's the call tonight to the altar. This is the only one that I'm going to give. Of course, I want to pray for people that need healing, and God can do it quickly. We don't need an hour to do this. We just need a couple minutes.
You have 20 more. I brought you 24 minutes.
You're awesome. Thank you. I got 20 minutes. Y'all won't give me 20 minutes? Anybody won't give me 20 minutes? 20, 40. Pastor already sowed, and you get a chance to sow. Amen? So, we need to understand something tonight. God's calling us to greater, but I've seen the look on many faces tonight that said, I don't know the love of God in my own heart. I feel like the Holy Spirit really pushed me into the corner to talk about forgiveness. I feel like in this room tonight, many of you have been hurt by family, by church members, by previous pastors, and it's hindering your current relationship. Don't allow previous things to stop your next because you're scared to get attached.
Yeah. Yep. Sure,
I'm never going to date again. Well, that's probably a good idea till you heal. But after you heal, it ain't good for you to be alone. God said it wasn't good for you to be alone. I mean, he looked at Adam and said, you can't be left alone. I mean, he said, it ain't good that you're alone. That's what he said. You can't be left alone. You don't know that if you're not a boy. You were never a boy. You know, mama said all the time, I couldn't leave you alone no way. And so if that's you, and you just want to be honest and say, you know what, I've got unforgiveness in my heart, Bishop, and I need prayer. I've been hurt, and I need to release this today. Raise your hand and say, that's me. Anybody? Anybody else? Anybody else? Just say, thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you. Someone else? I'm just going to pray for you, right? Anybody? Unforgiveness? Hurt? You need to release it today. That's you. All right. Now we're all going to stand, right? And we're going to all pray together. We're going to pray for those folks specifically that raised their hand and was honest. Amen. I want to see the mountain move for you in your life. Amen.
Yes.
We need to forgive. Father, we release every person. Every person that's hurt us, we release them and we forgive them right now with the love that you gave to me. With the same measure that we have been met tonight, we release those people that have hurt us. And we say we forgive them, even family members, friends, acquaintances. We release them right now in the name of Jesus. We forgive them, and we thank you for the greater in our life, Lord. Help us to love again. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I heard you. Help us to love again at greater levels. How many of you can say, I could love more? I could love more. Raise your hand. Say, I could love more. I could learn how to love even greater, even more. I could reach out more. I could do more. I could love more. That needs to be your life.